every day, Mass is celebrated at St. Dominic's Chapel at the Chancery Offices of the Archdiocese of Atlanta. The following is a recording of today's readings and homily from a previous year.
A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. The Lord God has given me a well-trained tongue, that I may know how to speak to the weary a word that will rouse them. Morning after morning, he opens my ear that I may hear, and I have not rebelled, have not turned back. I gave my back to those who beat me, my cheeks to those who plucked my beard. My face I did not shield from buffets and spitting. The Lord God is my help, therefore I am not disgraced. I have set my face like flint, knowing that I shall not be put to shame. He is near who upholds my right. If anyone wishes to oppose me, let us appear together. Who disputes my right? Let him confront me. See, the Lord God is my help. Who will prove me wrong? The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Lord, in your great love, answer me.
Lord, in your great love, answer me.
For your sake, I bear insult, and shame covers my face. I have become an outcast to my brothers, a stranger to my mother's sons, because zeal for your house consumes me, and the insults of those who blaspheme you call on me.
Lord, in your great love, answer me.
Insult has broken my heart, and I am weak. I looked for sympathy, but there was none. For consolers, not one could I find. Rather, they put gall in my food, and in my thirst, they gave me vinegar to drink.
Lord, in your great love, answer me.
I will praise the name of the Lord in song. I will glorify him with thanksgiving. See, you lowly ones, and be glad. You who seek God, may your hearts revive. For the Lord hears the poor, and his own are in the bonds he spurns not.
Lord, in your great love, answer me.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ, King of endless glory.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ, King of endless glory.
Hail to you, our King. You alone are compassionate with our errors.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ, King of endless glory.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. One of the 12, who was called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, "What are you willing to give me if I hand him over to you?" They paid him 30 pieces of silver, and from that time on he looked for an opportunity to hand him over. On the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples approached Jesus and said, "Where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover?" He said, "Go into the city to a certain man and tell him, 'The teacher says, my appointed time draws near. In your house I shall celebrate the Passover with my disciples.' The disciples then did as Jesus had ordered and prepared the Passover. When it was evening, he reclined at table with the 12, and while they were eating, he said, 'Amen, I say to you, one of you will betray me.' Deeply distressed at this, they began to say to him one after another, 'Surely it is not I, Lord.' He said in reply, 'He who has dipped his hand into the dish with me is the one who will betray me. The Son of Man indeed goes as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would be better for that man if he had never been born.' Then Judas, his betrayer, said in reply, 'Surely it is not I, Rabbi.' He answered, 'You have said so.'" The Gospel of the Lord. Both yesterday and today, our gospel passages for daily mass have focused on the figure of Judas Iscariot. The name Judas, it's used proverbially right now. You understand what I'm saying? It's used as a proverb because of the betrayal that is associated with Judas, one of the 12. And it's interesting that right, before we begin the sacred triduum, that the church kind of puts the spotlight or puts the focus on this figure of Judas. Like so many things in the Bible, it's easy to pass over this fact that while they're at supper, Jesus says aloud to them, "Amen, I say to you, one of you will betray me." It wasn't necessary that he say that aloud. It wasn't necessarily something that he had to say in order to trigger Judas to do what he was going to do. We actually already heard that Judas had already been given 30 pieces of silver to hand Jesus over. But I was thinking about it this morning that as Jesus goes to celebrate the Last Supper, weighing on his heart was that Judas was going to betray him. You know how when you're experiencing something that's just weighing on you, but you're holding it in to yourself, and at some point you just have to say it out loud because it's so heavy on your heart, and so you just speak it to somebody else. Seeing how maybe that was Jesus' experience as he went to celebrate the Last Supper. It was his dear friend, one he had personally chosen to be among his 12, who he had spent so much time with, gotten to know so personally. They'd done so much work together, beautiful things, proclaiming the gospel, driving out demons, healing the sick. And here his friend, his brother, Judas, is going to betray him. And that's weighing on Jesus as they're celebrating this Last Supper. And Jesus can't help but just say, "Amen, I say to you, one of you will betray me. One of you will betray me." At the beginning of the gospel today, Judas says to the chief priests, "What are you willing to give me if I hand him over to you? What are you willing to give me if I hand him over to you?" Like any number of the figures in the Bible, it's no different with Judas. We can tend to sort of disassociate ourselves with those less than noble figures in the scriptures. But I think the challenging thing for us to do, particularly as we're getting ready to enter into the Holy Triduum, is to take a hard look at Judas and a hard look at ourselves and see if we might see a reflection of ourselves in the figure of Judas Iscariot. What are you willing to give me if I hand him over to you? How often have we in our own lives made compromises with our Lord for the sake of some worldly benefit, to be viewed more favorably by others, to gain certain esteem or certain advantage in this or that domain of our life? In effect, by maybe compromising our faith or in some way denying our Catholic identity, our discipleship of Jesus, our love for Jesus, we in effect say to the world, "Yeah, what are you willing to give me if I hand him over to you? I'm willing to hand over Jesus so that I can get something from the world." I think of my own experience, and I can think, many times have I done that? Many times have I been willing to hand over Jesus to gain something that I want, that will make me look better or will be advantageous for me? And in that regard, I'm not much different than Judas Iscariot. And just as it weighed on the heart of Jesus at the Last Supper that one of his dear friends would betray him, how must it hurt the Lord for those who he gave up his life for, who shed his blood for, that we hand him over for a mere 30 pieces of silver. And Jesus says, it's the one who has dipped his hand into the dish with me, just as we do every time we celebrate Mass. We, in effect, are present at that Last Supper. We dip our hand into the dish with our Lord Jesus, and yet we're willing to hand him over. But then, like Judas, we say, surely it is not I. Surely it's not I, Rabbi. Last week, we commemorated St. Isidore of Seville, one of the doctors of the church. And St. Isidore has this beautiful line. It actually appeared in the Magnificat, the reflection for that day. And I won't get it exactly right, but St. Isidore wrote something like, the first of God's gifts to us is to let us know or to show us that we are sick and in need of healing. The first of God's gifts to us is to show us that we are sick and that we are in need of healing. Maybe in some way that's what the church is inviting us to do as we get ready to head into the Holy Triduum, by presenting the figure of Judas, inviting us to see if we see a reflection of ourselves in Judas, to let us know that we are sick and we're in need of healing. And then these next 3 days, the whole church is going to commemorate, to relive, to celebrate that great work of healing, the great remedy that has been given for us who are sick, the passion and death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so while it's the first of God's gifts to let us know that we are sick and in need of healing, the last of his gifts is the remedy itself. The good news that we have been healed, that we have been saved from our illness. Had Judas recognized that, he would have lived. And he would have gone on to great and glorious things with Peter and the other apostles, who in their own way handed Jesus over to the world. And so we can continue to take an example from Judas in that we don't despair of our illness, but rather we have great hope and confidence in the one who's given us the remedy for all our illness, for all our sickness, for all that weighs us down, our Lord Jesus. If our hope remains in him, then come Easter Sunday, we will rejoice in the great remedy that has been given to us and to all who place their faith in Jesus. May the grace that the Lord, no doubt, pours out upon the church and the whole world in these holy days, may that grace be ours as we enter into these sacred celebrations.
The preceding podcast is a production of the Roman Catholic Archdiocese of Atlanta. Copyright 2024.